God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 28th day of September 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music from Steve Patrick, and then the sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. Our salvation is secure. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you for listening.
Tempestuous seas, unknown ways before you rode, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your soul, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand, finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, how lonely death can be. But at the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory finding it home.
Amen. What a good day that will be. 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning. Good to see you out this morning. Good to see Miss Marla here with us. Amen. Just a note of caution, you probably don't want to hug her much. And so if she pushes you away, it's because it was shoulder surgery, not arm surgery. So even though she has the arm sling, that's just kind of to keep the shoulder in place. And so she's not being rude. But if she pokes you in the eyeball, maybe she is. We'll go from there. But it is good to see her. Amen. Doing good. Praise the Lord. Well, 2 Peter 2, we've been doing a series. Kind of got hung up here on verses 1 and 2. Probably will be for a couple more weeks. Called Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, Exposing the Damnable Heresies. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we actually discussed salvation, the importance of being bought through Jesus Christ. And we want to jump off of that and really into a corresponding thought process there, and that is eternal security. Interesting enough, it is a very important doctrine that goes hand in hand with salvation. They tie in together naturally. So let's stand, if you would, and we will do the reading of God's Word. Time would not afford us the opportunity to look at all the verses dealing with salvation, eternal security. There are a plethora of them. However, we will look at a few today and just try to highlight some of the principles from them and hope it will give you just a little bit of direction for further study. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, and reminding you, this is a warning about false teachers and doctrines coming into the church. But there are false prophets also among the people. Even as the warning here by Peter, there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, you say, well, preacher, why are we preaching on this? Well, look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. In other words, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Lord, we come to you now. And Lord, we realize, Lord, that unless we put out a warning, many will follow these ways of these false teachers. And Lord, we've already seen that take place. Many in Christendom, Lord, have done exactly that. And Lord, false teachings and errors are predominant in our churches today. And Lord, I pray that the learning of your word, the preaching of your word, will help guide and direct us in the right paths. Help us today, Lord, with this ever-important doctrine of preservation or eternal security, Lord, that we would understand the importance, Lord, of the fact that we are secure in you. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm watching some baseball, probably did a couple of baseball thoughts. I did some reading and reminded me of a couple of things. Just last year, Barry Bonds, of course, hit the home run record. 756 home runs, as you may remember. The gentleman that bought that ball, and I can't remember what the amount was, but I'm sure he paid a pretty penny to buy that ball, got on the internet and put out a poll, if you remember that. And he said, what should be done with the ball? And so I head out there. Well, the overwhelming response was this: put an asterisk on it and donate it to the Hall of Fame. And that is what he did. So the gentleman put a little asterisk on it, and I guess you go to the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, you can see that, and put it up there. Well, we know what that means. That means look down below, there's other information. It is not a pure or an exact fact, figure, or statement. There's something that needs to be attached to it. And I thought about that and said, you know, I praise God that the day I got saved, there is no asterisk assigned to my name. In other words, once I was saved, I was always saved. And what a blessing that is. Along that line, I recalled another story that I read I thought was good. And a gentleman mentioned that he had a baseball card worth $100. A baseball, now, I tell you, we used to collect baseball cards. That's wonderful. The only problem is finding somebody to pay you $100 for that card. But he had a card, it was called Future Stars. And he listed the stars in those cards. And that card, like I said, was worth $100. And this is who he listed on it. Matter of fact, I had to look it up because I didn't know who they were. Jeff Snyder. He played 1 year of professional baseball, pitched in 11 games, had 13 earned runs. The other guy was named by the name of Bobby Bonner. So Jeff Snyder and Bobby Bonner. Bobby played 4 years, only played 61 games. Now you play, what, like 180 games, 162, 180 in professional baseball? He played 61 in 4 years, so he didn't play much at all. But the third guy was a little bit different. The third guy was kind of the Iron Man of baseball. The third guy played in 3,001 straight games, came to bat 11,500 times, collected over 3,000 hits, 431 home runs, and batted in almost 1,700 people. Now, you know that guy, even if you don't know a lot about baseball. It's called Cal Ripken Jr. Could you imagine running around, though, if you're Bobby Bonner, saying, hey, look at my card. It's worth $100. The fact of the matter is, it's not worth $100 because Bobby Bonner or Jeff Snyder's on there. It's worth $100 because Cal Ripken Jr. is on there. And those guys really are doing nothing, but they're tagging along. They're along for the ride, and they just got fortunate that they got their pitchers because they came in at the same time Cal Ripken did. I thought about that, and I said, man, that is such a great picture of you and I's salvation. Once we accepted Jesus Christ, guess what? We're along for the ride. The fact of the matter is, Jesus has done everything else. He's the one that saved us, completed it, which we're going to look at this morning. And we don't walk around and say, hey, look, I'm saved because of all that I did and all that I've done. Matter of fact, those guys today have no careers really in baseball, but their card is still worth something because of the guy that's with them. And I thought, man, aren't you glad our life and our security is worth something, not because of anything that we will ever do, but because of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read you a quote of one of our great scholars, Mark Byard. Hey, I call him a great scholar. He did a great lesson on preservation. I asked if I could pull this out, but... He said, the doctrine of preservation, perhaps better known by its descriptors as eternal security, security of the believer, or once saved, always saved, is one of the landmark doctrines held by true Baptists. And sadly, it is becoming a more and more rare doctrine among those who associate with the title Christian. Even some who use Baptists in their titles, mainly Free Will Baptists, believe that born-again children of God can either lose their salvation because of significant acts of sin or willfully forfeit the redemption by an act of the human will. While the heresy of falling from grace may appeal to human logic, reasoning, and pride, it ignores the whole Bible context. It does not appreciate what salvation is and what God accomplishes in and through the new birth. Man, I appreciate those thoughts. Amen. You know, the fact of the matter is there's two main thoughts here about how you can lose your salvation. One is this, well, preacher, I've sinned so much, and since I've sinned, surely then I need to get saved again because I've sinned. And the other is this, well, okay, we don't believe that you can lose your salvation by sinning because you did nothing to earn it. But I do believe, some people say this, I don't believe it, but they'll say this, well, preacher, I do believe I can just kind of walk away from Christianity. I can just kind of... say, hey, I don't want anything more to do with it. I don't believe anymore. And you've heard people say this. Hey, I believe when I was young, but now I'm older. I just don't believe anymore. And they're almost atheistic now. And they said, I once was saved, but now I'm not. I've now forfeited. I've given back salvation. By the way, why would you ever want to give something like that back? But they say that's the two ways you can lose it. And I'm telling you, I've run into so many people that have been taught this and believe this. They believe and they live this insecure life of thinking, man, if I do enough wrong, almost like, you know, balancing scale, you know. And it's almost like we know we have to accept Jesus to go to heaven. And so we'll pray and we'll go through the same process of anybody else to get saved. But then it's almost like we sit there and go, okay, I got to do more good than bad. And if I do more good than bad, then I'm keeping my salvation. Hey, I've got good news and bad news. You can't do more good enough to keep it. That's the bad news. Now, not good English, but it's fun to say. More good, I like that. But the fact of the matter is, guess what? Aren't you glad that you don't have to do more good, as we should say? But aren't you glad that Jesus has done it all? See, that's really the base of what we want to look at today. Because I believe it's important for us to understand that it is so dangerous to believe you can lose your salvation. Now, that's going to be part two of the message. I'm going to go on the effects of those who believe that. Because it is damaging. But right now I want to look at some facts of why we cannot lose our salvation. And I'm telling you, it is an important doctrine. Now listen to me. It is an essential doctrine of what we believe. Now I'll kind of throw out the front here real quick, because we often get accused of this as fundamental Baptists or Baptists in general. They'll say, well, you just believe you can live like the devil and, you know, on Sunday just come back and serve God. And since you can't lose your salvation, you can just live any way that you want. The Bible says in Romans 6, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We never have and never will teach or believe that true believers will go out and live in wicked, evil sin and continue that way thinking there's some license to do that. That's not what my Bible teaches, and we have never taught that here. As a matter of fact, we teach the exact opposite. Because you are saved, you're not going to want to sin. Not that you won't sin, but you're not going to want to sin. And when you do, the very conviction of the Holy Spirit will come inside and you'll repent and turn towards God. But you will in no way lose your salvation. Well, why is that, preacher? Well, let's take a look at a few. Sunday morning service, you can't look at all naturally. And if you need a Bible study along this slide, I've even asked Brother Mark. He did a fabulous job in Sunday school. We can print off some of his notes and pass them out if you need those for further study. But I want to look at some theological problems with the doctrine of losing your salvation. Number one, if you're taking notes, it contradicts proper literal interpretation. John 3:16, as you may know it, and 3:36, as you go back and look at those, are very clear. For God so loved the world. Now, I've chosen that one. There's many other ones. I've chosen that one because of familiarity to you. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 36 of the same chapter goes on to explain that he that believeth in him hath life. He that believeth not hath not life. But he that believeth on him has everlasting life. Now you could ask just any young person, any child, how long is eternal or how long is everlasting? You know what they say? Forever. Forever. I've often said from the pulpit, and I'll probably say it till the day that I die, those of you ladies that go and get perms, you are flat liars. You see, perms is something you never have to do again. I think you should get temporaries, because that's what they are. Yeah, I don't know why they call it that, but the fact of the matter is, you know, wife will go in, I'm going to go get a perm, you know, and I don't know how long it is, 3 months later, I go get another perm. Wait a minute. No, then it's not a perm. You know, the fact of the matter is, use the right word, would you? Linda, where are you? Use the right word. You're a hairdresser. Fix this. You know? But I look at the Word of God, and I'm like, you know, God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't put terminology out there that doesn't have the proper meaning. Now, this is so simple, but I'm a simpleton, and that's it. I'm thinking, if you can't refute the very basic principles, why do we need to get into all the debt? I'll just be honest with you. Let's just go, point one, if you're in a debate, let me just help you with this. Okay, if I get saved and I get eternal life, then guess what? If I can lose it or walk away, it was never eternal. That's a total impossibility. That's a conflict in wording, in definition. Matter of fact, to tell you the truth, it's deceiving. Oh, come unto me, all ye that need to be saved and accept me as your Savior, and I'll give you eternal life. However, if you sin or you walk away or you do this or this, then it's only temporary. I never read that anywhere in the Word of God. It makes no logical sense to me. Hey, let me help you with something. When God said that we are in Christ, it's eternal. Let me help you. It is forever. When I got saved, I was saved forever. I don't worry about it. I don't debate it. Because when I got saved, I didn't do anything to do it except put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so, folks, eternal is important. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Deep, deep, deep passage here. We're just going to skim the top of it. I apologize to the Bible scholars who like to get more depth, but I want to show this here. It's a passage used so often by those who believe you can lose your salvation besides the one if you can fall from grace and others like that. But in Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll jump down to verse 4. You know, the Apostle Paul is giving really a hypothetical situation here. But even if we took it from its literal stance, look what it says here. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. In other words, what are you saying, preacher? It is impossible if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Let me tell you the other simple argument I use for eternal security, besides all the doctrines, besides justification, preservation, besides sanctification, all the doctrines that clearly teach that we're saved by Jesus Christ, we're protected in Jesus Christ, we get it only by, besides all the fundamental doctrines, eternal life, and the fact of this, in Hebrews chapter 6, if you're going to follow a literal interpretation, and you're going to follow as we teach and we believe, but if you're going to take this passage as someone who believes you can lose your salvation, look what the Bible says. It is impossible to ever be saved again. In other words, if you could lose it, Jesus was only crucified one time, and he'll never be crucified again. And so I ask them, answer those two questions, we'll go into any other verse you want to go into. The fact of the matter is, they can't. Well, preacher, I just believe, you know, I just got to re-accept Jesus. There are people, literally, folks, you understand, there are people who get saved every single Sunday. Because they go and they live however they want during the week, and they live that life, and on Sunday they come, they repent, they accept Jesus Christ, they go back out, they feel like they sin again, and, you know, tell a lie, do something, and so they live that way all week long, they come back on Sunday, and I'm like, you don't understand, if you could walk away, if you could do enough sins to lose your salvation, I've got bad news. If you're going to follow the Scripture, okay, the way they want to follow the Scripture, then guess what? You could never get it back again. Because according to that Scripture, Jesus has to be crucified again to pay for your sins again. And the Bible says he died one time. Romans chapter 5, so clear, folks. As one man sin entered into the world, so death by sin is passed upon all men. And woo, praise God. As by one man's death, Jesus Christ, guess what? Grace and faith is passed upon all mankind. Same thing. One man sinned, we're all corrupt. One man died for his sins, we all have the opportunity to be saved. And folks, it's a permanent thing. It's a permanent thing. We could go into a lot more scripture verses and look at these things, but just from the literal interpretation aspect, there's also the law of contradiction under literal interpretation. I want you to understand something. Boy, it's such a basic principle in scripture. But folks, we believe that. We just did a whole series on this book is the inerrant, infallible word of God. Now, let me tell you something. If this book contradicts itself, then it can't be trusted. Okay? In other words, if the Bible teaches that you can lose your salvation in one spot, and in other spots it teaches that you're secure and preserved and eternal and you can't, then guess what? Either we're misunderstanding it or the Bible contradicts itself. That makes sense? And if the Bible contradicts itself, here's the problem that we have. Then you can't trust any part of this book. So let me just help you with simplicity as well. It's impossible for the Bible to contradict itself. The Bible says itself that it is without error. The Bible says that it is perfect. It does not contradict itself. Well, the preacher, why does it seem to say over here that you're saved one way and over here another? Well, let me just help you. It doesn't say that. The fact of the matter is we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Overwhelmingly, the Bible teaches one clear thing. You're saved by faith through Jesus Christ. And overwhelmingly, it does not teach that you can ever lose your salvation. People take words and phrases here and there. They get nervous about them. They fail to look at the context, look at the whole Word of God, and they begin to believe a doctrine. And I'm telling you, this doctrine is widespread. I think we probably have people right here in the auditorium today, even at Central Baptist Church, that in the back of your mind, you grew up in churches that said you could lose your salvation. And even to this point, in this time, you wonder sometimes, I wonder if I'm really saved. I wonder if I'm really saved. Because it was so ingrained into you. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. We're going to look at some of that here in just a second. Number two, it places the burden of keeping our salvation on ourselves instead of God. Oh, boy. Brother Mark, of course, once again in Jude, did a great job of talking about how we're preserved in Jesus Christ, talked about the vicarious suffering. What a great doctrinal. It really is. You know, vicarious is basically, in fact, I wrote it down to make sure I read it right to you, means an experience or benefit garnered through the act or actions of another. You know, we often say as parents that we're living vicariously through our children. You know, when they do something good, we're like, yeah, look, that's my kid, that's my son, that's my daughter, look at me. And someone will say, well, you're just living vicariously through them. You know, through their act, through their actions, you are being benefited from it. Can I just help you with that? Folks, the greatest act that took place that you and I benefit from was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter, we're already there, Hebrews chapter 12. So just turn just a couple pages over. We're trying to keep you in a location where it won't be that difficult. But I like verse 2, and look what it says there. Looking unto Jesus, now look at this, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm telling you, those are fabulous words. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm talking the author, the originator, the beginner, the one who decided to literally originate the plan and go through with the plan is Jesus Christ. He's the author of the plan. He's the one who signs his name to the plan of salvation. And then it says, oh, this is good. He's the author, and you go to the end of the book, he's the finisher, the completer of the whole thing. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you'd have no idea how to get to heaven if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. You have no way to get to heaven if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I mean, he did all the work, all the planning. He died on the cross. He spilled his blood. He took it before the Heavenly Father, put it on the throne. He did all the work. He said, you got to do one thing. By faith, put your trust in me. That's it. It's done. Would you do that? He then says, oh, and I let you go to John chapter 10. He then says that he keeps us. John 17, he keeps us, he holds us until the day that we die, we get our glorified body, and we finish in heaven with Jesus Christ. The author and the finisher. And the in-between trip, he is carrying us all the way. Amen. Folks, those are wonderful. I don't know how you miss that. The fact of the matter, it doesn't rest on John Waterloo. I'll tell you right now, I realize logically if it rested on me, we're in a mess. I'm going to tell you right now. If you and I had to keep our salvation, there's no one here good enough to do it. You pick who you think is the sharpest, most sinless person in the congregation. And you put the thought, well, it's got to be her. No. She's wicked. Let's pick him. Yeah. Put him in your mind and think, whoever you think is the best at Central Baptist Church would have no chance of keeping their salvation. No chance. They are no better than if you think of the worst person at Central Baptist Church. Hey, keep it to yourself. Now you're already speaking names. Stop it. You compare, oh yeah, he'd never make it. She'd never make it. Oh no, they're doomed. Wait a minute. Let me help you. We'd all be doomed. I am so glad that the author, the one who designed the plan, the one who completed the plan, is Jesus Christ. And he gives us this hint just right here. And you finish up the passage, you can read. It's a wonderful thing. We can go on and on about what he does. And we'll do a couple more. I tell you what, look over with me in Romans chapter 8 real quick. Let's go over there real quick. Each one of these could be a sermon in themselves, literally. Romans chapter 8. I want to give you just a little bit more background before we hit a couple more points. I think it's essential today that we understand what we believe and why we believe it. In Romans 8:35, my third thought here is we cannot lose our salvation because of the love of God. And we're just going to read this. Most of you are familiar with these passages. But I like verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then the apostle just starts listing everything. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that not even death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, if you could lose your salvation, there's only one way, and that is this, that Jesus himself kicks you out, and that is it. And you can't find that anywhere in the Word of God. That is the only way that you and I can lose it. Matter of fact, when you look at just the basis of how we get saved, we've gone over and over again. When a person just stops and really admits the fact that they're a sinner and they need a God, and they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, and they put their faith in that redemption plan of Jesus Christ, and that belief includes that repentance of a change of mindset of saying, I'm no longer trusting in myself, I'm trusting in Him, and they just confess and ask for Jesus to save them. Folks, there is no works involved, there's no goodness involved, it's all Jesus for this point. Because God knew we'd come to a point of thinking, you know what? I think maybe I lost it. I got good news for you. You didn't lose it. Well, preacher, what's the problem? Well, if you go back to 2 Peter real quick, I want to tell you what the problem is. The problem isn't that we can sin and lose our salvation. And the problem isn't that we can walk away from our salvation. There are basically only two groups of people sitting here. Those that are saved and those that are lost. It's that simple. I dare say in this congregation, there are people that are saved here. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are people sitting here who are lost, who do not know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But one of the most amazing things in that, and probably one of the most scary things that I've often talked about, is the fact that somebody can look like they're saved, have a form of godliness, but actually deny all the power thereof. 2 Peter begins to deal with some of this later on in the passage. Jump down with me if you would, as he's, remember the whole passage is about false teachers, false preachers, false doctrine. If you get down and let's see, let's pick it up. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, now look at this, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now stop and think about that. If you take a pig, and you clean the pig up, and you put a bow on the pig, and you take it to the fair, and the pig wins grand prize, best looking smelling pig. Not been to the fair, so do they even do that, Brother Gerald? Grand prize, best looking smelling pig. And so you get the ribbon, and you get it. When you take the pig home, what's the pig going to do when you put it outside? It's going to play in the mud. You say, why would the pig do that? That's what pigs do. Pigs like mud. So the author has given a very simple illustration. As a dog returns to the vomit, which we won't discuss on Sunday morning, you're welcome. Or as the sow goes back to the buyer because that is who they are. In other words, the natures have never been changed. All that was changed was the outside. All of 1 Peter is talking about false prophets and teachers who adorn the outside but fail to do anything about the inside. I tell you, and listen here, because this is critical to everything that we teach at Central Baptist Church. The one burden on my heart as your pastor that is the heaviest is this. How many sit in our congregation who look like they're saved who are not? Our young people grow up, they learn the songs, they learn the words. They come to church, let's just be honest, because they have no choice. We make them. Why? Because we are bad parents. We make them brush their teeth, go to school, eat good food, and yes, we make them go to church. How wicked. But we do. So if they grow up in an environment, they go to church because they have to. There are husbands sitting here, and let's just be real. You're here because she makes you. You say, what do you mean? Nobody makes you anything. Well, you don't want to hear it anymore, and they hear her complain, so you come. And vice versa, there's some wives sitting here, and you're coming, and your husband may be dedicated and sold out, and you're really not in your heart, but you come, and you go through the family motions, and you go through everything, and you do the Christian things because that's what he wants to do, and that's why you're here. And whether you're a child, and you come because you have to, or your husband because she's going to yell at you or complain, or a wife because you just want to be apart and make the family work, and let's just have peace, it really doesn't matter. The key is this. Is your heart right with God? Do you really possess Jesus Christ? You say, why would you say that, preacher? Because I'm telling you, time and time again, we run across people who say they're saved. I mean, they promise you they're saved, and they are not. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Ray Bolts? Anybody? Yeah, Christian music. Thank you, Lord. What's that? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Acre Holds. Any more hands up? You guys need to listen to more Christian music, man. Ray Bolts, for 30 years promoting Christian music. Oh, man, I love his music. It's great. He comes out just this year and announces he's a homosexual. Married, 4 kids, I believe. I read on the internet. Came out, went to his site. True. He writes Christian music. Writes it for a living. For 30 years, he sold and made a living on Christian music. He traveled to churches, did concerts, singing about Jesus Christ, the love of God. And yet he did not possess Jesus Christ. Oh, no, preacher, yes, he did. He just got into sin and walked away. Let me help you with that. Romans chapter 1 is very clear. You cannot be a homosexual and be saved. Oh, preacher, you're just being condemning, and I can't believe that. What about our culture and this intolerant culture? I didn't say that they couldn't be saved. God can save anybody. I said if they're an open, practicing homosexual, they are not saved. There's a big difference there. You say, why? Because Romans chapter 1, go back and read it, is very clear. It's impossible. That lifestyle means one thing. It's an open denial of God himself. I thought it was genetic. You might want to do a little bit more reading. Even the scientists say it's not genetic. They're trying to find a gene now today to show that why men have affairs. It's genetic. No, it's not. It's called sin. Same thing. I mean, where are we getting this? Well, you know, and Ray Bolts comes on and he starts saying, well, people just don't understand. And now I'm going to the Metropolitan Gay Church and they understand. And I'm like, no, they don't. Let me read you the very words. And I'm not familiar with this magazine. It's called The Blade. And I don't read it, but I found an article from it. It said he and Carol Bolts remain close. Their divorce was finalized early this year. Ray Bolts declines to go into speeches about the first time he was with a man, but says he has been dating and lives a normal gay life now. If you were to hold up the rule book and go, here are all the rules Christians must live by, this is Ray Bolts, did I follow every one of those rules all the time? Not at all. You know, because I kind of rejected a lot of things, but I've grown some even since then. I guess I felt that the church, that they had it wrong about how I felt with being gay all these years. So maybe they had it wrong about a lot of other things. So on the outside, as he's singing about God and the church and the love of God, you say, why would he do that? You want to come back for another message here in a couple weeks? I'll tell you why. It's called merchandising you. What are you saying, preacher? That's a whole other message. Don't get me started. One of the greatest money makers out there today is believers. They fleece us all the time. Put a little fish on it, put a little cross on it, we're buying it up. It disgusts me. And yeah, there's a message coming about 3 or 4 weeks on that. You don't want to miss that. It's merchandising of Christianity. And we uplift these people as great guys because they got a beautiful voice. They sing wonderful songs. And now listen, one of our own songwriters, and this isn't the first one, by the way, folks. This isn't the first one. Comes out and is living a lifestyle that contradicts God. Why? Because from his own lips, he's not saved. He said from his own lips, I haven't even believed in Christianity. I haven't even believed most of what was taking place. I begin to doubt the very things that basically the preacher and people were saying. But I didn't say anything because I knew I'd be condemned. Why would you be condemned? Because you're not saved. And you go back to Peter, who have been there, have seen, have known the very way of righteousness, and have walked away. Well, why'd they walk away? because they did not possess Jesus Christ. Let me help you with something. When somebody walks away from God, I'm going to help you out. Are you ready? We are not talking about Christians who sin. That we understand. We're not talking about believers that get involved in things and mess up. No, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about people who go to church, have a facade. We think they're saved, think they love God. And all of a sudden one day, they're out of church. Their very conversation is, I don't even believe in God. I care less about God. I'm living the world, having a blast, enjoying it. I have no guilt. I have no conviction. And they say, but yeah, weren't you saved one time? They go, yeah, I was. Stop. No, they weren't. You want to know what we believe? According to the Word of God, very clear. There's only two categories of people. People that are saved and never lose it, or people that were never saved but had religion. You don't walk away and lose it because of something. He didn't all of a sudden become gay and now he lost his salvation. He revealed his very heart from Romans chapter 1. That he refused in Romans 1. Go back and read it. Verses 12 to about 22. He refused to acknowledge God. And in his refusal to acknowledge God, God gives a pattern of what happens. And it begins with all this immorality and ends in a very unnatural way, the Bible says. And open evidence of a rejection of God is a gay lifestyle. Well, you must hate those people. Don't hate them a bit. Love them, want to see them accept Jesus Christ. What happens when you run to someone that says they're homosexual? There's one thought in my mind. What can I do to tell them about Jesus because they need to be saved? My thought isn't, how can I get them out of this lifestyle? What can I do? No. I know what the problem is. The problem's a heart problem and their life is just crying out. Well, where'd you get that from? Romans chapter 1. Very clear. Now you say, why are you saying this, preacher? Folks, we're being inundated by news and media of things that just contradict the Word of God, and we buy into it. We buy into it. Let me help you with this, folks. Either you're saved or you're lost. Period. That's it. I don't care how religious you are, there is no other. And if you have one, and once you have Jesus Christ, I got good news for you. You are secure forever. You may mess up, you may make mistakes, and you may get away from God and come back from God. We're not talking about any of that. That happens in life. That's the way that it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that just walk away permanently saying, I don't know him. I want nothing to do with God ever again. Doesn't match my book. Doesn't match my book. Now, I'm going to give you a couple thoughts real quick before we close on the dangers of thinking that you can lose your salvation. There's several things I've noticed in the short time I've been in the ministry that has come across my path when I talk to someone who believes this. The practical problems of believing you lose your salvation are this. Number one, it stifles soul winning. How am I going to share my faith if I don't think I'm saved? The worst soul winners in the world are people who believe they can lose their salvation. I'm never going to tell Adam about God because inside I don't know if I have him. You know, boy, Adam, if you'll just pray this prayer, maybe, hopefully, it might be, you've got a small chance you may go to heaven. I mean, think about it. And after doing that for a period of time, you go to church, we sing songs, we worship God. But we don't do what God's told us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, even though we hear message after message and message. And I always thought, why don't we do that? And I know sometimes we're just afraid, and I understand all those elements. But I think one of the biggest elements are, when you talk to individuals who think they can lose their salvation, it stifles your soul winning. How do you tell your kids? How do you tell anybody about God when you're unsure yourself? Because your mind says, I'm a hypocrite. I don't even know if I'm saved. How can I witness anybody? And so there are people dying on the way to hell all the way around us. And we got the answers, but we don't say anything because we're insecure ourselves. Number two, I noticed what an amazing lack of faithfulness. It would blow, if I had recorded the amount of times that I've knocked on someone's door and said, hi, Pastor Waterloo, Central Baptist Church. Good to see you. I'd like to invite you. If I could only count the number of people that I've knocked on their door and entered into a conversation with them. And are you ready? Fluent knowledge of the Word of God. Understand, could quote the plan of salvation to me. As I'm talking about church and God, they know the verses, they know the concept, they're talking back. I'm serious. I mean, they're just like, almost like they stand and preach it. I'm sitting there, wow. It blows my mind. Last guy, I think I mentioned to you, Jonathan bought his vehicle and we went and talked to him. Pentecostal background. And I mean, he's there, and I'm serious. I mean, like I said, he's quoting scriptures. He's talking about God, talking about church, and I got to change life and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, where do you go to church? And he says this, I don't. I'm like, what do you mean you don't? And this is common. He goes, well, I used to. But then my friend said I was getting way too involved and wasn't connecting with them as much. And so I'm out of church now. I've accepted Jesus Christ. But, you know, I still sin a lot and everything, and that's a problem as well. And basically it's coming down to this. I've actually had people tell me, well, preacher, you know, because I sin and I'm unsure all the time if I'm saved, why in the world go to church and live the Christian life? This is what they're planning on doing. They're going to pop in for Easter and Christmas, special events, special occasions, and then right before they die, their plan is to accept Jesus Christ one last time, and then they'll be okay. And their faithfulness is like this. You know why? Because they don't have security. You know what's so exciting about me? No matter how bad I get and how bad I am, there's one thing I know. Scott, something about the bailout. Man, if our economy blows up, if we lose everything, you know there's one thing I can't lose? My salvation. They're going to take your house, your car. I'm going to live with Andy anyways, no big deal. He doesn't know yet. Yeah, you're going to lose everything. Preacher, what are you going to do? We already lost Starbucks. What else can you lose? Put it in context here. What else is there? You're going to lose all your retirement and all that. I told you, I'm living with you guys, so it doesn't matter. Well, you know, we could lose it all. Let's just be honest. Well, how are we going to survive? Hey, if we lose it all, we got good news. We can't lose God. We have a short life, 60, 70, 80, 90 years here on earth, an eternity with God. And folks, they can do everything to our bodies and to our money and to everything, but they can't take Jesus away. And the nice thing about being anchored in Jesus Christ, about knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, there's a security that takes away fear. There's a security that allows you to share your faith and do all the things that Christians are supposed to do. And I'm convinced that so many are not doing it, not just because of sin, because inside you're wondering, am I saved? Let me help you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. Forever. And you can't take it away. And if you don't accept that, and accept the Word of God, it will stifle your Christian growth. It will stifle your ability to witness. And you'll become a very nominal Christian with a very chaotic Christian life and wonder why it never works for you because your life is like this. And I'm telling you why it never works. Because you've messed up on an essential doctrine that to you may seem boring. You may have it down, and that's great. But I'm here to tell you as your pastor, walk outside of these doors. The majority of the world believes this. Yeah, I got to put my faith in Jesus, but I got to do something else to keep it. And I'm here to tell you, no, no, it doesn't work that way. If you're here today and you've truly put your faith in Jesus Christ, I just want to tell you as your pastor, I got some good news for you. You're safe and secure in Him because it's all Him. But if you're here today, you're playing religion, you're playing a game. Inside, you know your heart. We don't know it. Inside, you know where your heart is. And you got all these excuses, all these things. I got really bad news for you. Okay? You don't want to play with God. You don't. Why not today make secure the most important decision you'll ever make? And that is accept Jesus Christ for real, permanently. And folks, once you do it, I got good news. Oh, we got to confess our sins as we sin. But I don't confess my sins to get resaved. I confess my sins to have a right relationship with God and have His power. That's it. But my home is secure. I know what's going to happen to me because I put my faith in Jesus. So I challenge you today. Those of you that are here, that maybe you've been doubting that, you've been struggling. Would today be a day that maybe you click the mind over and finally accept that Jesus is the author and finisher and there's nothing else you need to do? And for those of you that have never accepted Him, maybe today, if the Holy Spirit's worked enough in your heart, maybe today would be a day that you say, you know what? No more games. I'm going forward to accept Jesus Christ. And I'm going to make sure that this is it. And I'm putting my faith in Him for salvation. Lest it's too late. Let's stand. Lord, we come to You now. We thank You and praise You for Your Word. Lord, I'm so glad, Lord, that You've done all the work. Lord, in Sunday school, we learned about justification and preservation, sanctification, these big words that basically all relate back to You and the work that You've done on the cross and what You've already done for us. Lord, we have a strong anchor in You. When everything else moves and changes, You never do. Lord, I believe, especially in these trying times, recession heading to America, Lord, that we need to make sure our anchor is firm in You. Lord, what Satan would love is for a whole bunch of people doubting because trials and tribulations come to life, wonder if they're really saved, if You're really there for them. And Lord, that's not the issue. Lord, as long as we focus on those basics, Lord, we'll never go forth and grow. We'll never grow to the maturity that we need to have, and Lord, do the work that we need to do for debating the basics. So Lord, I pray for those believers that are here today that truly are saved, Lord, that struggle in this area, maybe because of teaching, from previous churches and friends and family, Lord, that you'd help them to get victory over that. Lord, I pray especially for those that are here today, Lord, that are lost. Those who know they're lost and those, Lord, who should know, Lord, that they've been playing the Christian game, but deep down in the heart, Lord, they've never put their faith in you. Lord, help them to come and take care of that today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thank you again for listening.